We're going to finish up in Mitzvah Shem tonight. Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. But Birshuschem, if you wouldn't mind, I would like to share with you something I said on Shabbos. They called me up to speak. And Shabbos was Parsha Zohar. Now, the Torah says Zohar Eis Asher Asol Chamolik. It doesn't say how and when and... So the Torah just says Zohar Eis Asher Asol Chamolik. It doesn't tell you how to fulfill that mitzvah, how frequently, what you have to do to remember Amalek. Is just like a mental state, some sort of reminder. And basically, I think this is one of those mitzvahs where the Torah actually gave it to the Chachamim, the authority, and the responsibility to define how and when to fulfill the mitzvah. So in a sense, it's like, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Yeah, but what do you have to do in order to fulfill that mitzvah? So the Chachamim will tell you the details of Gemilas Chasodim, you know, Bikur Cholim, Menachas Kala, and Levayis HaMes, etc. So here too, the Torah says in a general sense, Zohar, and left it up to the Chachamim, who have the authority to define exactly how to fulfill this mitzvah. So how do we fulfill this mitzvah after the Chachamim set up their standards? The answer is through Kriyas HaTorah, and specifically through Parshas Ki Tetzeh. Now keep in mind that the mitzvah of Hamolik appears twice in the Torah, back in Beshalach and here in Parshas Zohar, which is in Ki Tetzeh, at the end of Ki Tetzeh. However, there's a very fundamental difference between the two Parshas that might explain why we need Parshas Zohar of Ki Tetzeh. In Parshas Beshalach, the Torah records the Maisa of Amalek, you know, what Amalek did against us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Macho Emcha Zech Amalek, that I will destroy Amalek. But the mitzvah as it's given to us, the obligation that's incumbent upon us, that's formulated in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. There it says, Timcha Zech Amalek. So I think that Chazal chose that particular Parsha that encompasses within it the mitzvah, the obligation of destroying Amalek. And the reason for that is because there's a direct correlation between these two mitzvahs, Zechiras Amalek and Mechias Amalek. The Sefer Achinuch, I don't know if I mentioned it to you in the past, in Mitzvah Tov Resh Gimel, he says that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Zohar. Our business that the women have to come to your parsha Zohar, that's not true according to Sefer Chinuch. Correct, because the Chinuch says that he who's obligated in Milchama is obligated in Zohar. But a woman who's not obligated in Milchama is therefore not obligated in Zechira. So you see quite clearly that he's making the linkage between Zechira and Mechia. The Rambam also in Sefer HaMitzvahs describes how before they went out to war against Amalek, they made an announcement, you know, publicly about what Amalek has done to us and why we have to destroy him. Notice the mitzvah of Zohar is an introduction, sort of a prologue, to the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, of Hachrasas Amalek.
But you can't take out the mitzvah from Peshuta Yishol Mikra, the part that says Zohar Eis Asher Asol L'cho Amalek. That Parsha, Parsha, he says, it doesn't talk at all.
No, but the next pasuk says, Timcha Zecham.
I know, but
which is Mulchama.
I know, but Zohar Eis Asher Asa L'cho Amalek. That's not Timcha. It's Zohar, you have to, you
but
have to
Moshe,
know.
You and I know that when you have two mitzvahs that are written continuously in one Parsha, and they're logically, conceptually related to one another, that Chazal very often assume that the two mitzvahs are related. This is not the only case in which two mitzvahs are written one near the other, and through the smichus, we derive that the two mitzvahs are a package deal.
But why isn't the Parsha B'Shalosh also been part of the package of what we're obligated to do? Because the Torah says, Zohar Eis Asher Asher L'cho Amalek.
But I'm just saying that in Parshas B'Shalach, it doesn't say that you should destroy Amalek.
Right, so we have to read both parshas. So, I mean,
okay, so I'm not denying what you're saying. It could be that we have to read both parshas. In fact, the poskim debate, the Magen Avraham claims that you can be Yotze if you didn't hear parshas Zohar and Kitase with parshas B'Shalach. And I wanted to explain the Magen Avraham, but at least those poskim who disagree with the Magen Avraham, they hold that you need somehow to introduce Zechira and Mechia as one entity. It's two mitzvahs in Taryag, but they're intertwined and interdependent. The mitzvah of Mechia Samalik doesn't appear in Parshas B'Shalach, only the Maisa Samalik. So that's going to be the Machlokes HaPoskim, whether mentioning the Parsha of Maisa Samalik in B'Shalach is sufficient or not. But one thing that's clear according to all the Poskim is that the mitzvah of Zechira is not just remember Amalek. It's got to remember Amalek through the Kriyas HaParsha. And I'd like to suggest, this is my chiddush, that the way Chazal carved out the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, Kriyas HaParsha, in this case Ki Teitze, is not sufficient. You need something else. Another Kriya. The Kriya of the Haftorah. From Sefer Melachim. Because what's the difference between Torah Shemachsav and Torah Shemal Peh? In Shmuel, excuse me, I'm sorry, I meant to say Shmuel. Is what's the difference between Torah Shemachsav and Torah Shemal Peh? You may recall that we were vacillating back and forth in terms of the father's chiyuv to teach his son, whether it includes Nevi'im and Ksuvim as well. Because Nevi'im and Ksuvim, as Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out so beautifully in Emes Liyakov, requires Havanas HaTorah. So I would like to suggest that the real understanding of this mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek is found not in the Parsha, in the five books of Moses, the Chamisha from Shei Torah, but rather in Sefer Shmuel, in the Parsha of Shol, which we read as the Maftir. So in a sense, the Kriyas HaParsha, which is the Maftir, and the Haftorah, which is read immediately following, form one entity. Both require Kriya. Both require Kriya from Tanakh. Whereas the first Kriya doesn't tell us much about the nature of this mitzvah. The second Kriya tells a great deal about the mitzvah. And I'll give you a few examples. Because Shmuel, when he approaches Shol, already establishes right up front that the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek is incumbent upon a melech. And that's how the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Melachim, that when a king in Israel is appointed, and Mitzvah Hashem, when the future Melech will be appointed, his first mitzvah is Mechias HaMolek. That's one aspect that's defined by Sefer Shmuel. A second aspect is that the first thing that Shaul HaMelech hears from Shmuel is Pakadati, Eis Asher Asa HaMolek. That even comes before the mitzvah that he's given to go destroy HaMolek. So the Malvim says on the word Pakadati, what's the difference between Zacharti and Pakadati? Pakadati, says the Malvim, this only the Malvim could know because his understanding of Lashon Kodesh through Tanakh, he says the word Pakida means remembering something that happened in the past as it bears on what's going on in the present. In other words, Pakadati means linking up to the past as it impacts on what's coming up next. He says what Shmuel was telling Shaul HaMelech is you have to remember what Amalek did historically, and then and only then do you fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek. So once again, we're seeing here the sheet of the Chinuch that remembering Amalek is the linkage, is the prologue before Mechias HaMolek. But there's a lot more in this parasha, because Shmuel tells Shaul HaMelech that he's got to destroy all of Amalek, even children. The Gemara says in Yuma, Shaul didn't understand this tzivui. Im gedolim chatu ketanim ay chatu, the Gemara says. And nevertheless, it's exeris hakosav, we have to destroy Amalek. Not only that, we have to destroy every, even their animals, every possession of Amalek. There can't be any zecher. Shmuel, later on, castigates Shaul, as we know, and takes the malchus away from Shaul because he didn't do that. If he left the children, according to one day, he left the animals, according to, certainly in the Pesukim it says he left on Gog. So I think what we could say is, based on what we've been learning here in this room over the months, is that the way Chazal fashioned the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, it's patterned after the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It requires Kriyas HaParshios, not one parsha, but two parshios. And they form a unit, a set. The first parsha emphasizes the historical Amalek of way back when, and the mitzvah to go ahead and remember Amalek and destroy Amalek. That's all written in Torah Shavasav. The deeper understanding and the nuances and the details of how to fulfill that mitzvah are given to us by the Navi in Sefer Shmuel. And therefore I would suggest, again, don't quote me on this, but if you left the shul before hearing the Haftorah, you did not fully fulfill your mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek. Again, you may have been Yotzei Achiv Doraisa, you know, the barest minimum. But the full-blown mitzvah requires that sandwich, that pair, that integrates both Torah and Nevi'im. So far, so good? All right, we're halfway there. I want to go a major another step. Why do we read Parsha Zohar before Purim? Yeah.
So you're saying, let's say before Shmuel the Navi lived in Shaul, it was impossible to fulfill this mitzvah in its
entirety. Yeah. Maybe they knew that through Torah Shebaal Peh.
I mean, are you saying like mitzvahs can develop over time?
No, what I'm suggesting is that Shmuel was the head of his bezdin. So when the Rambam gives us the entire, in his Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, gives us the entire lineage of the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh, it comes to Shmuel. So again, it was only Shmuel who put it down in writing, but more logically, Shmuel got it from his predecessors. Were there new halachas that Shmuel instituted? Quite possibly, yes. For example, you have to understand, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the whole parsha of Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, which is the heter for Boaz, you know, to marry Ruth, and all the lineage thereof, comes from Shmuel Beis Dino. So I don't know, maybe Shmuel was Machadish that did. And what power do they have with authority there? That's a big sugya. Rav Mirsky in the Sefer, what's it called? Hegyonei Halacha, has a whole piece on this business about Amoni v'lo Amonis, if Shmuel himself, with his Bezdin obviously, was able to institute that heter. I don't remember what he says. But I want to suggest another piece of the puzzle. Go ahead. That why is it that Parsha Zohar is read and the mitzvah of Zohar is fulfilled according to this Takonas Chachamim right before Purim? So I know you'll tell me because Haman is Mizar Molek. That's a simple answer. And you're right. I'm just coming to perhaps add another layer of meaning to this. Purim Day introduces another Kriyas HaTorah. And that's Parshas B'Shalach. Now I'm going to make the following contention. Again, I have no proof of this, so you know you can walk out of here saying, right, Brosan, you're full of hot air. I'm going to suggest that the Parsha of B'Shalach is the next element in fulfilling the mitzvah of Zohar, the way the Chachamim fashioned it, in its entirety. But of course you'll ask me, if that be the case, it's very odd. We started with Kitzeitze, which is the creed of Parshas HaTorah, the five books of Moses, and then we went to the Haftorah and Shmuel, and now we're going back to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It's a little bit Shalom Kisidra. And not only that, if indeed B'Shalach, and I'm, again, as I told you, the Magen Avraham actually holds this way, is a potential for the mitzvah of Zohar, of Zechiras HaMolech. So maybe we should have introduced it together with the reading. You know, again, I don't know how many Sifrei Torah you'd have to take out for this, but you'd have to read both from B'Shalach and Parsha Zohar. So I want to suggest the following, that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Zohar. One is what I call the historical dimension. All of halacha unites past, present, and future. The historical dimension of remembering Amalek historically, what they did to the Jewish people, leading up to the chiyuv, the twofold chiyuv in this case, of remembering Amalek and destroying Amalek. That's one element. But there's an entirely additional element to the mitzvah of Zohar. And that is, I call, Kriyas HaTorah sheyesh ba emuna. Do you remember, maybe you may remember months ago, we spoke about the fact that in Talmud Torah, there are two categories. There's Talmud Torah, which is just Chachmas HaTorah, and then there's a special Torah of emuna, of faith. We quoted the pasuk V'odata Levanecha, Levnei Manecha, Yom Asher Amadata Lefnei Hashem Alkecha Bar Sinai, and the Ramban, in his Hasogas on the Rambam we quoted, has a special mitzvah in Taryak to teach Torah to your grandchildren under the mitzvah of, you know, remembering Yom Asher Amadata Lefnei Hashem Alkecha Bar Chorev and Har Sinai, that there's a mitzvah of emuna to remember Har Sinai and to pass that Torah on to our grandchildren. So I want to suggest that in a similar way, there's a mitzvah in Zechiras HaMolek of remembering not only the past and not only the present, but even the future. The emuna, the belief, the faith in Hashem, that if we can't destroy HaMolek, if Chas V'Shalom, all our powers and all our mighty, you know, Tzahal or whatever it might be, our military, would not be able to succeed, Hashem says, Mocho Emche Zecher HaMolek. That destroying HaMolek is what we call in modern Hebrew a shituf pula. It is a partnership agreement. It says Zegorin. If we can't succeed, Hashem is there as the cavalry, as the element that will certainly clinch it. We have to publicly declare that emuna as part of the mitzvah of Zechira Mechia. That's fulfilled on the day of Purim itself. Why? Why on Purim? Because basically, who destroys HaMolek on Purim? I mean, we go out to battle. But in the entireness of Purim, who organizes it? Who with a capital W, I'm giving away the answer, right? In such a way that we can go out and destroy HaMolek. After all, Haman's Gzeru was signed and sealed by the Melech. So you could say, if you look at it with the natural eye, that these were all cause and effect relationships as part of the natural universe. But that would be very myopic, in my opinion, very nearsighted. Anyone with any sort of insight sees how one event after the other, one marechet after the other, you know, different systems of cause and effect relationships were organized in such a way that they would coincide, so that eventually, v'na'afalpu, we could destroy Shayishlu Tuhem of this onayim. If this be the case, Rabosai, how many kriyos do we need in order to fully, completely fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek? Four kriyos. Two on one day, that's on Shabbos, and another two on Purim. Because just like on Shabbos, we have the Torah, Shivasav, in the sense of Chamisha, Chumshei Torah, Mikra, what we call, with Kiyum Kriya. And then we add Nevi'im to interpret and to develop our deeper understanding of what it says in the Torah itself, many different dimensions. So too, another day of Zechiras HaMolek was added to our calendar. And that's Purim. And by mirror image, it requires two kriyas. One kriya from Torah Shebichtav, another kriya from Ksuvim. Not from Nevi'im, but from Ksuvim. Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemar. It's also a kiyum kriya. It's also a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In fact, do you remember we once asked the question, why does Gemara say Megillah Daf Dalet? Daf Gimel. Mevatlin Talmud Torah LeMikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is not, it's not Bittul Torah. It's also a kiyum of Talmud Torah. It's also a kriya of a parasha, one of the Chof Dalet to Sifrei HaKodesh. And that's a difficult question to answer. What does Megillah add to the kriya of Parshas of Bishalach? That the emuna that we have in the eventual destruction of HaMolek has a reality to it. It has a kiyum to it. A kiyum through the entire set of events, sequence of events, that took place at the time of Mordechai and Esther. So now, we have 2 days, each day with two kriyos. We combine them, we integrate them together, 4 kriyos, 2 days, and that fulfills the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek, it's an entirety.
How does that differ than a regular Hashgacha Pratis on Klal Yisrael?
Again, Hashgacha Pratis on Klal Yisrael would mean that one of two things. It could mean that Hashem organizes things in such a way that Klal Yisrael are rewarded for their good deeds and punished for their not so good deeds, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean, and this is the next stage, that God intervenes in history and sets up the chain of events in such a way, and in this case, to destroy Amalek. I don't know. I don't know if every Ashgacha Pratis reaches that level. Halavai, it should. If not for the Tfilos of Leich Knossos Kol Yehudim, etc., etc., if not for the Mordechais and the Esters that we have, the Shluchei Hakel, I don't know if we... Hashgacha Pratis, yes, and there's a divine judgment. That's how everything fits into a pattern. And maybe even if I stub my toe, it's part of some divine system of retribution. But it doesn't necessarily mean that at every stage God is the divine being decides to jump in and change the order of events. Rav Dessler, in his famous Michtam Elio, calls Purim Nister Nigla Shebenister. So he says there's no Shem Hashem in the Megillah. Not once, not a Shem Kodesh. There may be Ramazan, but not Shem Kodesh. He says the entire story of Purim is a Ness, but Nistar. Nistar Shebenigla. Benigla means that you can see it if you just look for it. But it's certainly a Ness. So I want to suggest that the two Kriyos of Purim complete the cycle of Mikra Megillah, of Sefiras HaMelech. Why? Because they add a whole new dimension. The dimension of Emuna. Not only Emuna in abstract, because God declares it in Mikra, but also befall, that God is good for His Word. And if He's good for His Word in the past, then we could say the bracha afterwards. And why is it that we have a bracha after Megillah? We don't have a bracha after Ner Chanukah. HaRavas Rivenu V'Adonis Tinenu, which ends with Hakel Moshiach. What we're basically saying is that with regard to Amalek, I don't know if it applies to other nations of the world who come as our enemies, but at least whenever it's Amalek, is HaRavas Rivenu V'Adonis Tinenu Hakel Moshiach. God is going to take revenge against Amalek on our behalf. And we have to make that bracha, we have to recite that bracha because it represents our milcham against Amalek, which again, if we can't do it by ourselves, we'll be aided by a Kodesh Baruch. So therefore comes out according to my chiddush. And again, you can always just reject it. You don't have to accept it. Is that the contiguity between Parshas Shabbos, Parshas Zohar, and Purim? At this time, it was very profound because it was mamash 48 hours, but it doesn't always happen like that. But that connection is to be mashlim, is to complete the way Chazal carved out the mitzvah of Zohar in its entirety. So how many kriyas are there? Four, right?
There's really five.
What's the fifth? Night, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's exactly part of the mitzvah of Zohar. You have to really... The kriya at night, that's a whole discussion.
Why did they even do that? There's no other precedent for that.
Right, that's an interesting thing. That's a key of Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Kriya is Halal, and Halal has to be by night, it can't only be by day, and the Gemara derives from the Olam Odeka. I mean, that's a whole shir unto itself. But I believe there is a fifth Kriya to complete the cycle of Mitzvah Zechiras Hamelech. This is my chiddush. It's a little bit wild, but I have a Rashi that anyone who can explain to me this Rashi, then fine, and then I'll just, throw in the towel. What I say to you now is wrong. Before I mention the Rashi, let me just give you a little background. The Ramban in Parshas Ki Tetzeh quotes a Sifra. The Sifra, is a price. And the Sifra on the Pasuk Zohar, as Asher Asal Chol Moch, it says, Zohar Shetehei Shone Beficha. Now, from everything that we've been discussing here for the last few months, about the mitzvah of V'limadetem Osam on the father to his son, the mitzvah of Shinantam on the Chacham to his Talmud, what does the word shinun mean? Shin nun vav nun.
To teach.
To teach what? Well, which Torah? Torah Shvatzam or Torah Shvalpeh? No. The word shinun, vishinantan, Chazal say vishiyu mechudadu beficha, shekol makam shiichach, any question somebody asks you, Torah lo miyad. That's the mitzvah of Torah Shvalpeh. And I'll prove it to you. Because the Rambam derives from the Pasuk Vishinatam, the Chovas HaChacham, Lelami Ben Chavera. And he dedicates all of Perek Dalet, Milchus Talmud Torah, to the dinim that apply to a Chacham teaching Torah to his Talmidim. All those dinim completely refer to Halacha, to the study of Halacha, of Torah Shebaal Peh. and all the dinim of how a Talmud asks a question and when he's allowed to ask a question, and the Meturgamon and how he relates the question through the Meturgamon, the whole of Perek Dalet, and how if somebody asks a question and he doesn't understand the answer, how the Rav has to explain it to him over and over again, even 1,000 times until he understands it. All that is in Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet is dedicated to the mitzvah of the Chacham to teach Torah Shemal Peh. So whereas the father of the Vilimaritim has to teach Torah Shemal Sav, the son, the Chacham, under the mitzvah of a Shinatim, has to teach Torah Shemal Peh. So the Ramban says, according to Sifra Zohar, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar? Shetei Shone Beficha. What does that mean, Shone Beficha? Learn what? Study what? Torah Shemal Peh? Where? We just finished reading Parsha Zohar. Then we went ahead and we read the Haftarah from Shmuel. Now we read Parsha Mishalach. Then we read and we went ahead and we read Megillas Esther. Where is the Shinun of Torah Shemal Peh? So the Ravid, who's the super commentary on the Sifra, says the following: Shetilmad Hilchas Megillah. This is already off the charts. The Ravid says that the way to fulfill the mitzvah Zachas Asher Hasal Chol Amalek, according to the Sifra, is through learning Hilchas Megillah. On the one hand, I'm happy because that introduces Torah Shemal Peh, learning Halacha. But what's it got to do with Zachar Yisashar HaSol HaMalek? That's question number one. But question number two, and this is the clincher. This is what I got up and I said at Einstein. There's a Rashi in Megillah Daf Daled that makes no sense. And I don't know if anyone noticed the Rashi. I looked in the first, I didn't find anything. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, I don't have a Gemara in front of me, but the Gemara says that Chayav Lilmod Hilchas Achag B'Chag, Hilchas Pesach B'Pesach, V'Hilchas Shavuos B'Shavuos, V'Hilchas Achag B'Chag, V'Yosukas B'Sukas. And then the Gemara quotes another memra that says V'Chayav Lilmod Hilchos Megillah B'Shavuos Shachal Bopur. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, you just finished telling me that I have to, the Brisa says up front, that I have to learn all the halachas of the Chag on its day. Why did you have to add a new halacha that if Purim falls out on Shabbos, that you have to learn the halachas of Megillah? So the Gemara goes ahead and says, I would have thought that since we have a Gzeirah D'Rabbah, and if Purim falls out on Shabbos, we can't read the Megillah, therefore we can't allow the Rav to get up and give a drasha and teach Hilchas Megillah. This is a very odd Gemara. Bishleim and Megillah, I understand why Rav made Xerah, just like he did in Shofar and Lulav. Why? What are we afraid of? Yeah, a person can take the Megillah. He doesn't know how to lay it. There are different, you know, nuances and different, you know, there are many psukha that we repeat because we don't know exactly how to read them. He's going to take it to a Bucky and ask him to help him out over here. He may even ask about the kashrus in the Megillah if certain words are erased, the letters are unclear. And he might come to remove the Megillah with Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. What does that have to do with the Rav getting up and giving a drasha teaching Hilchas Megillah? Rashi adds here two words, and I'm convinced, again, yeah, I could be wrong, I always tell you this, but I'm convinced in my mind that Rashi tried to answer this question. Rashi says, I'm a little lazy, I should get the Gemara and Megillah, but Rashi says on Daf Daled Amud Aleph that when the Chacham is teaching Hilchas Megillah, mitoch igeres hapurim. What's igeres hapurim?
Megillah.
From the Megillah itself. Nobody notices this, Rashi. Rashi is telling me that the Chacham, when he's mekayim the mitzvah of teaching Hilchas Achag B'Chag, in this case Hilchas Purim B'Purim, is doing so from the Megillah itself. Why is he doing it from Megillah? Why is he taking a Rambam Hilchas Megillah, Shulchan Aruch, why the Mishnah Berurah, if you like the Mishnah Berurah, whatever your favorite halacha sefer is. There are many of them. The answer is, I think Rashi holds that the cue of teaching Hilchas Megillah has to integrate two different Torahs. It's got to be an integration of Torah Shavach Sahav together with Torah Shavalta. How do we integrate the two? The answer is that the Chacham has to have in front of him the Igeres HaPurim, a Megillas Esther, and he has to read the psukim that are relevant, and then derive the halachos, or interpret the Megillah, in Torah Shval Peh. So he has here an integration of Torah Shval Sam and Torah Shval Peh. But you'll ask me why.
Kimu v'kibu.
Maybe Kimu v'kibu, I don't know. I wanted to suggest that it's a mitzvah of Sefiras HaMolek. Why? Because since Chazal, according to my Chiddush, extended Sefiras HaMolek, it's like a pregnant relationship, right? In other words, you have Shabbos, which is the mitzvah of Zohar, and then it extends right out to include Purim as well. So what Chazal were missing in this equation, they've got four kriyas already on the table. But what they're missing is one kriya which will link up Torah Shavuot Sav with Torah Shavuot Peh. True, we already have the Haftorah from Shmuel. That adds a whole bunch of dimensions and details to the mitzvah of Zohar and the mitzvah of Mechiyah. But what we're lacking is extending that by parallel to Purim itself. How do we link up Purim to this pattern so that it mirrors the image of Zohar together with the Haftorah from Shmuel, the written Torah together with the limud of Torah Shebal Peh, which according to the Ravid is the Sifra's opinion of Zohar, Sheteishona Beficha, what Sheteishona Beficha says the Ravid, Hilchas Megillah, why? The answer is because once Purim was integrated into the mitzvah of Zohar, Yis Asher Asel Chamalek, then we need to learn some sort of Torah Shebal Peh that's relevant to Purim and would fulfill this structure of Zohar as a combination of Torah Shebal Sav and Torah Shebal Peh. So therefore we take the Megillah itself, the Rav stands there with the Megillah, and he derives the halachas from the Megillah and teaches them.
Are there halachas that are derived from the Megillah?
Sure, many, many halachas. The most important is Hayomim Ha'elu Nizkarim V'Nasim. That's why Rabbi Yishuv Halevi about Megillah at night is a whole to-do. I mean, the Tori Evan says it was a new takana. It wasn't the Iker takana based on Esther. Because Esther says, Hayomim Ha'elu Nizkarim V'Nasim. Also, the choice of the word Nizkarim by Esther, I think, might have some remez to Zechira Samolim. In fact, the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yud Ches, Kara Bal Peh Lo Yotzeh, if you read the Megillah Bal Peh, you're not Yotzeh. Why not? So Gemara says, a hekesh to Zechiras HaMolek, and in Zechiras HaMolek it says, it's a pasuk, Ksov Zos, Zikaron Basefer. So Gemara says, Zikaron Basefer, that just like Zechiras HaMolek has to be Basefer from the Sefer Torah itself through a Kriya, so too, Megillah also has to be read Mitoch HaSefer. So you can read Megillah Bal Peh, you have a phenomenal memory, it's not going to help you. The key of mitzvah depends upon what? Upon Kriya. Mitoch HaSefer. It's like the Torah itself requires, the Megillah itself teaches us this halacha. So Memela comes out that there are five kriyos. So I was speaking in honor of my grandson's bris. So I added the following. I said, what does it mean to be a grandfather? The Gemara says in Masechta Kiddushin, Kol HaMelamed Es Ben V'no Torah, Malal Av HaKosav Kilu Kivlo Me'ar Sinai. It doesn't say that Kol HaMelamed Es B'no Torah Kilu Kivlo Me'ar Sinai. What's so phenomenal that Ben V'no? And I think there are two answers. They're both the same. From the grandfather's perspective, well, let's start. From the grandson's perspective, he's receiving Torah from an earlier generation. He's connecting himself back to Har Sinai. His father's only one dar. His grandfather's two dars. And from the grandfather's perspective, he's being Moser Torah. He's transmitting Torah, not just to one generation, but to two generations. I said this is a perfect parallel to the past, present, and future of Zechiras HaMolek. Just like in Zechiras HaMolek, it's not enough to remember HaMolek of the past. You also have to link it up to the present and remember HaMolek today. And number three, to remember HaMolek of the future, meaning to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The future really means the belief of Parshas B'Shalach, Macho Emcha. At the end of days, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka, Milchama Hashem Ludor Dor, then in every generation Hashem is going to fight those battles. So that the Shem Hashem will be Sholem. It's beautiful then. If the mitzvah of Zechira, which Chazal understood has to be fulfilled through Shinun, through Kriyas HaTorah, both Torah Shmuksav and Torah Shmalpeh, has to link us up from past to present to future. That's what a grandfather has to do for his grandson. His amun, his limud Torah is Torah sheyesh bo amuna, because the pasuk says, "Vodata l'vnei vanecha yom asher amadata l'vnei Hashem l'kecha b'harchorit," meaning that the grandfather has a special element of inculcating into his grandson that memory of the past, of the day of Har Sinai, and then by passing the Torah down another generation, meaning not just to his son, but to his grandson, he has an additional kiyum of what? Of the Torah Sheyesh Bo Emuna, as the Ramban says, because the Ramban says in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the Rambam left out this mitzvah of a grandfather teaching his grandson Torah should be counted as a separate mitzvah. Why? Because when a grandfather teaches his grandson Torah, he's imparting Emuna into his grandson.
It says Emuna in part over there.
That's not the Yod of Emuna, right? Correct. Like he Yod of Emuna, correct? So my grandson's name was Rafal. It was given Rafal Shalom. I had the schus of giving him the name. My shver Tzolzayin Gezunt was the tzaddik. So it was four doros. It was really, this is the first time that my shver was ever a tzaddik at his great grandson's. He has a lot of great grandchildren, but they're all in Eretz Yisrael. He missed all the brisim. So this one he got to Ryan, and he had just had surgery actually 2 weeks ago. So it was a special simcha that he could be there. And my son got up in Einstein and he said, why did he choose the name Rafael? So everybody thought because he's going to be a Rofe, my son. Yeah, but I don't know if little Rafael is going to be back then, I don't know. So my son said, because his older brother's Gavriel and he likes Malachim, so he wants to show. So everybody cracked up because Gavriel is anything but a Malach. I mean, he's Gishmak, he's great, but he's a wild kid, you know. And I think Rafael's going to probably go the same way. And everyone's guessing that if it's Shempe and another son will be Michal, right? So they match in this sense. So that's what happened. So Baruch Hashem, it was nice. We were able to get back here for a little bit of Purim, not much, but whenever we got to ride. You know, the plane landed around 1:15 till we got here, and Clinton Park was about 2, and then we had some for him.
Why is that mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek done via a kriya? When there's other mitzvahs to be Zohar or something, and it's not like Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kashya, so you make Kiddush, or Avdallah. But it's not done with a public reading with a whole kehillah there. How do they know for that mitzvah
right.
You should do it that way?
Right. I would say every Zohar. I don't know how to answer your question about Shabbos. You have to really figure that out. When the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos is itself a kiyum of Zohar. I don't know. If it is, I don't know how. You're going to have to say that every parsha is somehow related to Shabbos,
whatever,
which I don't know.
Remember what happened to Miriam. She got Saraz.
Right.
That's
so
also Zohar.
That too, you would have to Makai by reading parshas Baloso, you know. And then, for example, this is a prime example. Zohar is Yom Tzeis Chomer Eretz Mitzrayim. You have to read. Now, it's interesting. Which parsha in the Torah do we read on Leil HaSeder? You know, the Rambam derives the mitzvah of Leil HaSeder of Sipur from the pasuk Zohar. That's a big debate in Rishonim. Most Rishonim derive it from Vigadat to Labincha. The Rambam uses Vigadat to Labincha only to teach you that the mitzvah of Zohar applies on the 15th of Nisan. But the Yisod, I mean the Shoresh, the Pasuk, the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, according to Ram, is Zohar. So what Torah Shabbat do we read in order to fulfill that mitzvah?
Bikurim.
Exactly. Bikurim. Parshas Ki Tovo. So I saw once in the Tshuvas HaGaonim, somebody asked, I don't remember which Gaon it was, probably the Trinoi Gaon, I think, if somebody would go in the Leil HaSeder, and he has this abridged form of Haggadah, and he reads the Psukim in Parshas Ki Tovo Kimot Sheheim, as they are, without any drushes, right, our mitzvah is Vidoresh, as Parshas Arami Ovid Ovid Kula. He leaves out all the drushes. He just reads the psukim. Yotzi yadecho vaso, or lo yotzi yadecho vaso. So the Gaon answers, not only has he not fulfilled his mitzvah of Zohar, but chashid olai bi'enai lios min oso hakat shel karoyim, or whatever he calls them there, does he call them karoyim, that deny Torah Shabbat. So I once heard from my Rebbe Grobson holding bracha that he wasn't talking about the Rambam Shita in Zohar, but he was talking about the mitzvah Sipur Yitzchayim, that the mitzvah Sipur Yitzchayim requires Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Somebody who reads Torah Shebichtav, meaning the Parsha Bikurim and Kitavo, without Torah Shebaalpeh, is chashud to be a karoy. The karoy says, you know, deny Torah Shebaalpeh. Because the way we have to fulfill the mitzvah, the obligation, is to integrate both together, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh.
But it has to be through something being read. It can't just be through you generating a memory in your own mind.
Right, right. But the question is,
why
can
not?
You read it privately, or does it have to be a public reading?
Why does it have to be via reading?
That's what doesn't
say read this, it says remember this.
Zohar is not just remembering. Zohar is through some sort of objective action.
How do we know that?
It's in the Sifra. The Sifra has on every single Zohar that you have Tehei Shonu Beficha. And in the case of Miriam, I think it says you have to learn Hilchus Negayim. If you didn't learn Hilchus Negayim, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar in Miriam.
How do you know how often you have to do
it? But the Rambam left out the mitzvah of Zohar and Miriam from the Taryat. So that's a whole... That's all. This said how many times? So once a year is enough. Because the Shir of Shikha is Shir based Chodesh, so once a year to your mind self is enough. But all these are issues. I mean, well, I'm not even touching the tip of the iceberg. But suffice it to say that in every case of Zohar, the Sifra derives the halacha of reading a parsha in the Torah and interpreting it through Torah Shebaal Peh. The question is how you do it in the case of Shabbos. I don't remember. I know he says you have to learn Hilchos Shabbos, but which Kriya in Torah Shebaal Peh, that I don't know. Maybe Kriya's Parshas Yisro or Veschanon, you know, that has, or many other Parshas Yakil that have Shabbos. Okay, Rabbos, I know it's a little bit late, but let's at least get it. I'm sorry, I apologize. It's just I had it in me, so I wanted to. The Kesef Mishnah, as you all know, we've discussed this many times, learns the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin V'chayav Lilando Bischar Achiyikra Torsha B'chsav Kula. That according to the Shitas HaRambam, says the Kesef Mishnah, that's all he has to teach is the Torah Shebichtav. Mikan v'yelech, ein chayav lelamdo afilu bechino. Even gratis, there's no obligation. Meaning, even if the father theoretically has the capacity and he has the time and the wherewithal to teach his son Torah Shebaalpeh, he's not obligated to do so. So my question is the obvious question, but we have another mitzvah that the Rambam formulated, and that's the mitzvah of Shinantam. So what does the Kesef Mishnah mean when he says that I don't have to teach my son Torah Shebaalpeh? Why don't I have to teach my son Torah Shebaalpeh? If I have to teach your son Torah Shebaalpeh under the mitzvah of Shinantam, again assuming I'm capable, then certainly I should have to teach my own son Torah Shebaalpeh. You follow my question? So what's the apparent answer? Let me just mathematically. I mean, for sure I would have to teach my own son Torah Shebaalpeh. He's not worse than your son. But the answer is that would come under a different mitzvah. Under the mitzvah of what? Vishinantom levanech. The Kesef Mishnah's comment is on the mitzvah of vilimanetem. And there are two nafkaminas. If you recall, the Rambam himself raises the question, so why did the Torah have to command the father to teach his son Torah if in any event there's a mitzvah on every chacham even to teach ben chavero? So the Rambam gives two answers. Number one, in the case of his son, he has to give him kedima. So if it's a choice between his son and his friend's son, so he gives kedima to his son. And number two, he has to pay his son's tuition. So with regard to that unique chiyuv of the father under the mitzvah of the limaritem, the Kesef Mishnah interprets the Rambam as saying that only applies to Torah Shebaalpeh. It does not extend to Torah Shebaalpeh. Obviously, I would have to teach my son Torah Shebaalpeh if I can, if I'm capable, but that's under a different mitzvah of Shinantam. It doesn't have those unique features that apply under the mitzvah of Limanatam. So take, for example, if I had a choice between teaching my son Torah Shebaalpeh and teaching your son Torah Shebaalpeh, who would come first? Flip a coin. I have no way of knowing that. Why? Because according to the case of Mishnah, I've already exhausted my mitzvah as a father under Vilimanatem once I finish Torah Shebaalpeh. I have no mitzvah whatsoever under Vilimanatem to teach Torah Shebaalpeh. El what, I have a mitzvah to teach my son because he's not inferior to your son under Vishinantam, who says that my son should get precedence over your son. But let's go back for one moment. Supposing your son is a chacham, he's a navon umaskil. You remember we spent a lot of time on the navon umaskil. The Rambam has this paradigm where it's either you, the father, or your son. So generally speaking, you come first, but if your son is superior to you, he's a navon umaskil yosem imenu, then you give precedence to your son. What would be if it was a choice between my son and your son is navon umaskil more than my son? So if it's Torah Shebichsav, then I have no doubt that I would give precedence, preferential treatment to my son, because the Iker Mitzvah is Limaratem. Limaratem is much more strict and stringent. It's a much greater and more powerful Chiyuv than Vishinantam. Haraya, we had all those dimensions. So therefore, if it was a choice between your son and my son, in Torah Shebichsav, even though your son is superior in his capacity to mine, I would still give precedence to my son. But what would be in Tarshish Baal Peh? Supposing it's your son or my son in Tarshish Baal Peh, and your son is a Novan Umaskil more than my son, then I would suggest, I would submit to you that according to the case of Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah is going to say, Bechlala, the fathers teach Tarshish Baal Peh to his son. But according to the case of Mishnah, I would say give precedence to your friend's son. Because since we saw already in Dine Kedima, in the question of the father and his son, that Novan Umaskil tips the scale, in that case, in favor of the son over the father, if he's Novan Umaskil, so too, if you have two equal chiyuvim under Vishinantam, then even if one of those chiyuvim is vis-a-vis my own son, I would still give precedence to your son because of Novan Umaskil. That's what I thought. I looked in there's a super commentary on Rav Sadia Gaon, which is mentioned in the Frankel Rambam. Again, everything I get, don't think I know every sefer from the library. I'm always getting it from the Sefer Mateh. Again, he doesn't tell you, after you go to the Sefer Mateh, then you have to find the Sfarim, 90% of which, unless maybe you go to the University of Toronto, you can find it in the library, but here in Toronto, you'll be hard-pressed to find these Sfarim. I'm going to make a collection to reprint some of these Sfarim one day, because some of them are just incredibly phenomenal. My favorite, of course, is the Mishnah Kesef that I told you about many times. I don't think it's been printed in the last three centuries. But anyway, so he sends you to Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlam. Have you ever heard of him? Oh, he was a genius. So he wrote a super commentary on Rav Sadia Gaon. And in his super commentary, he vacillates back and forth on this issue. Who comes first? Your son or your friend's son in Torah, he doesn't mention Torah Shebaal Peh, but I think that's what he's referring to. If your friend's son is superior to your son, because he's a Novan Umaskil. The only problem is that Rav Perl doesn't explain the two tzedot. He just formulates the issue. So I wanted to suggest a wild pshat, and that's what this whole shir is all about, which we don't know if we'll have time tonight. But I wanted to say that, you remember we had a discussion about the principle called Chayecha Kodmin? My life comes first, so as a general rule, again, I can't murder someone to save my life, but if it's a question of Hatzolah, of saving lives, then I save my own life even before someone else's life. And that's the famous dictum of Rabbi Akiva in Bava Metzia, Chayecha Kodmin L'Chayecha Vercha. So I want to know the following. Can I apply the principle of Chayecha Kodmin to my son vis-a-vis your son? Again, if it's a choice between me and my son, Chayecha Kodmin. That's what the Rosh Yeshiva from Hebron said. If you remember Rabbi Yechezkel Sarna, we did it in the weeks past. But what if it's a question not of me versus my son, but my son versus your son? Do I have a right to say that relative to your son, my son is Chayecha? He's like my life. My son is like, Chazal say, Bra Karadavun. It's like an extension of the father. So I'm not sure if there's any way I can find a proof for this. I'm sure there is some proof, but I don't know it. I would like to suggest that there is one halacha that would lead me down this path. And it's derived from a pasuk in Mishlei, and it's a halacha in Hilchos Tzedakah. What happens if a member of my family is collecting tzedakah, and a member of your family is collecting tzedakah, but I only have a limited amount of funds? To whom do I give first? Do you remember what pasuk that's derived from? Anybody? Excellent. Mivsarcha al tizal. Mivsarcha. And therefore call it karav kodem, meaning even if it's a choice between two of my relatives, there's a whole seder of, you learn it from Pashas Nachlas, if you learn Yesh Nochlin, who comes first? So I was wondering the following. We say in Daphne, Ki heim chayenu v'yorch yomeinu. That means Talmud Torah is not less of a chiyus than physical food. In fact, the Gemara has a kal v'chomer. The Gemara wants to know, should I make a bracha after I read the Torah? We know that you make a bracha before you read the Torah. So Gemara says kal v'chomer. It says, v'achalta v'savatu be'rachta. Is my the chaye shah? You know, it's just for a physical meal. I finish my seuda, and then I have a chiyuv bracha. How much more so chayola? Right? Chayola not hamisalchenu. That's the whole bracha. So you see one thing from this Gemara. This is Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Ches. It's not on your page. And the Gemara is assuming that just like there's physical sustenance, there's spiritual sustenance, and this is what's going to keep us going. And we always make a kal v'chomer from chaye shah to chayola. So I would say the following, that if two people need Torah, then in effect, they're both crying out for tzedakah. I mean, if tzedakah means giving you a buck so that you can buy a piece of bread and eat it, how much more so teaching you Torah? If that be the case, if I have a choice between my son and your son, I can now kick in the mitzvah of tzedakah, and therefore the principle of mitzvah al tzedakah. If that be the case, I don't think it would make any difference whether he, meaning your son, is Navon Umaskil Yosemi from my son. Navon Umaskil would be correct in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Because the purpose of Torah, as we said many times over and over again, is Mesiris HaTorah. And he, your son, is superior to my son in Mesiris HaTorah. He has a greater capacity. He's a Navon Umaskil. Right? We said that Maskil means the ability to teach Torah to others. But if we're looking at it from the perspective of Staka, and the rule of thumb is Mivsar Chal Tisalim, that your relatives comes first. Then forget about the fact that in Hilchos Talmud Torah terms, in the qualities and the factors that go into play in Talmud Torah, he's superior to my son, your son is superior to my son. But that doesn't matter, because we're operating now in Hilchos Tzedakah. So this is the idea I want you to think about. If you get a chance to look at the page, I don't know if you have the time, but if you do. And believe that we'll pick this up last time, because it's a very odd kind, very unique kind of blend of two mitzvahs that overlap. On the one hand, I'm giving out Torah. I'm not giving out food or tzedakah or gelt, right? On the other hand, what I'm claiming is that this Torah, in this capacity, is tzedakah. So which rules should operate here? Should we operate the rules of Talmud Torah and say that the Navon Umaskil takes precedence, or should we operate with the rules of tzedakah and apply Mivsar Chal Tisalim, and therefore give precedence to my son, even though in Hilchos Talmud Torah terms he's superior? How do we calculate this?
Is this only in regard to paying for
no,
or even just
teaching him gratis? I can only teach one person because he's here and he's there, and I can't the Yevshal Kaim Shneim. If I can teach both in one class, it's my Tov and my Noyim. So if it's an either or and I can't clone myself, who gets precedence? Again, you know, we talk about this in very abstract terms, and it's lumbus of the first degree, but this could be practical. So even if you're not willing to accept, which I don't blame you, that Chayecha Kodman would apply in a decision between my son's life and your son's life, okay, I can imagine in the Holocaust, you know, never, probably these decisions had to be made, you know what I mean? Who do you save if you can only save one? So is my son considered an extension of myself, and as far as Chayecha Kodman, and I don't know, again, I haven't seen anything on this topic, I'm sure there's somewhere somebody addresses it, but even if you question that, Bar Mihachi, I would come back square one and say that the mitzvah of tzedakah applies in Talmud Torah. Why isn't any less chesed to teach him Torah than to give him a buck to support himself? And therefore, in Torah terms, in tzedakah terms, I have to give him precedence insofar as he's my son under the principle of Mifsar Chal Tisal. Good? I mean, nobody discusses this. I'm telling you, it's a gold mine here. All right. I get a little carried away sometimes.